If you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and don't worry, I got the text right this time. It's Matthew 6. I'm just going to read from 1 to 7. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do not do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. So you can see there are two things that Christ talked about, said, is when you do charitable deed, you have to do in a way that you don't really show off, and you do in secret, but the Father will reward you openly. And same thing with the prayer, that you can see the contrast. You do secretly and Father will reward you openly. Do not be like those hypocrites who like to show off. And we see that there is the wisdom. There's a theme of wisdom that flows in the literature of Solomon. The wisdom, quiet, folly, loud. And we're going to see that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. There's a little story that is at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was a found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that the same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words that of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. So far, reading of Holy Word of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know if you remember last year when we had New Year's Day service. I remember last year, the service, we heard a sermon on Proverbs 3. It goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. It's very true. So in this particular verse, we find something called antithesis. contrast. Antithesis is a person or thing that is the direct opposite of someone or something else. The author put two opposite ideas together to make a contrast. So for instance, in the text, Proverbs 3, trusting in the Lord, on one hand, is opposite to leaning on my own understanding. So there's also another one, acknowledging Him is in opposition to depending on my wisdom. And brothers and sisters, it makes us wonder about this past year, 2018. Oh, we heard a sermon the first day, and I wonder whether we really thought about that throughout the year. How would you evaluate your 2018? Was your 2018 the year that you relied on God and His wisdom, or my own wisdom? Well, in the last year's sermon, talked about the general tendency of this world. The general tendency of this world is, you follow your heart. Just do what your heart tells you to do. It's very popular these days, isn't it? When you're about to make a very, very important decision, most people give a personal advice as follows. Follow your heart. The most important thing that you have to consider is your feeling. It almost sounds like any Disney movie, isn't it? You can do anything. In fact, the world speaks like that, but the reality is not like that. In other words, you're the captain of your ship. Your opinion matters the most. The politicians love to say that too. Your opinion matters the most. However, the Bible speaks otherwise. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Lord. Because the one who trusts in his own heart is fool. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, 17 says, "Then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it." There's another antithesis. It's the work of God, the work, and a man cannot find the work that is done under the sun. There's antithesis between God and man. So what do all these passages tell us? Well, the text is very straightforward. Man cannot find out the work that is done by God, although it was done under the sun. Even the wise cannot understand. It teaches us humbleness. It also teaches us God's wisdom is far much better than ours, because we are finite. We don't know everything. So we see that Solomon, throughout his literature, there's one theme, lean not on your own understanding, but trust God. So let me ask you again, how was your 2018? Do you think you were somewhat successful in leaning on God's wisdom rather than your own wisdom? Now, if you contrast those two wisdoms, God's wisdom and my own wisdom, and you might wonder, well, we want to lean on God's wisdom, but how do I know what God wants me to do? How can I find God's wisdom? Where do I find His wisdom? Well, we say wisdom is found in the Bible. And we are going to see one of the many passages that talks about wisdom, and this particular passage teaches us about some characteristics of wisdom. The theme of the sermon is this, the story of the poor wise man who saved the little city. We're going to see a great king threatens the city, and the second point, the wise man delivers the city. As you see, the story is very short. But it has many things that we can learn from the story. Start in verse 13. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun. The preacher Solomon, he uses this phrase quite often, under the sun. The expression under the sun simply means on earth. It also means in an open place. In 2 Samuel 12, the prophet Nathan was accusing David for committing adultery, saying, "Indeed, you did it in secret, but I will do this before all Israel and under the sun." It means to expose, known, revealed. Also, the phrase under the sun can be used to contrast between God and man. We live under the sun, but God is in heaven. We are limited. God is not. The preacher said he has seen this wisdom under the sun. It was very interesting to him, he said. He continues in verse 14. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it, and now there was found in it a poor wise man. By his wisdom, he delivered the city, but nobody remembered him because he was a poor. Here we see many antitheses. As I mentioned, antitheses means it's a person or thing that is direct opposition of someone or something else. So you can see there is a contrast between here, the little city, and a great king. It's a little city with a few men, and compare that with this great king. The text doesn't really explain or tell us, because it's a short story, where the king came from and how great he was. But we can easily assume that the king probably was from a huge nation, because again, there's the beauty of the Hebrew poetry. If you don't know the meaning, or if you don't have enough information, you can guess by using this principle of antithesis. Because antithesis gives us some clue to fill some blanks. Small city of few men versus a king probably came from a great city or great nation with a huge army. So, he probably was from a nation with millions of people. Came to invade this weeny tiny little city with a few men in it. And then look at what this king is doing. He came and built great snares around the city, which means just not literally snares, it's great snares. In other words, it's not just a simple siege work, but it's a huge, huge works. Like, it's not building just some small trenches around the city, but it was a massive construction of siege works against the little city. Now, think about this carefully. If there were only a few men in the city, you just need to conquer them by outnumbering them. You can imagine the king built a huge war equipment around them. I can only think of trebuchets. I don't think they had trebuchets, but you know what I mean. Great war machines to break through the city gate. Oh, you can think it as you're trying to use a shotgun to kill a fly. Now the question is, why did the king do that? Well, perhaps the king wanted to show off his power to scare them. That's one of the tactics. You can imagine the king arrogantly bragging about his ability, wealth, territory, the people, and his fame. He probably was shouting against the city, "Surrender, otherwise look at me, I have all these equipments, war machines." Probably was shouting to the city and listing all those nations that he conquered. He is loud. He is bully. You can see he wants to be recognized. And that is the way, that's just the way it is under the sun. In school, a bully picks on a small kid, a weaker one, disadvantaged ones. The bully wants to be recognized by others, to be respected. Again, there's a theme of wisdom versus folly. The folly is loud, big. Fools are proud, always try to show off. King Solomon said in Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. There is something special about keeping silence and controlling tongue. There is something about being humble. Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. The true beauty, the beautiful things don't ask for recognition. We also read from Matthew passage, there's the wisdom to do the things in a secret and God will reward openly. You don't have to be loud when you do good things. Our master taught that. He said in Luke chapter 11, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Notice that those places where people gather, synagogues and marketplaces, loud. And they want to be recognized in those places. When you do charitable deeds, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street. When Jesus said, do not sound the trumpet, I thought he was joking. And perhaps maybe that was really happening at the time when they had a charitable deed. Maybe they really blew trumpets in the synagogues or streets. When you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus also says something about prayer. Do not pray to be recognized like the hypocrites, but go into your room, shut your door, pray in secret places. The wisdom of God teaches us one very important Christian value. Again, that's I emphasize in the other sermons, that is the self-denial. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Lord. Let another man praise you, not your own mouth. And this leads to the second point. The wise man delivers the city. If you look at verse 15, there was one character introduced, found in the city of poor wise men. And by his wisdom, he delivered the city. This wise man lives in the little city with a few people. This wise man delivered the city with his wisdom. We don't know how he did it, but that's not the point. Normally, you'd imagine that since this man delivered the city, the citizens will treat him as a hero. That's how it's supposed to go. The citizens are supposed to be, would be, in normal circumstances, so be so thankful to him and show some appreciation. Perhaps they can make him as a governor of that little city or mayor or give him some rewards. But surprisingly, we don't find that happening here. The preacher Solomon thinks this is a great. No one remembered the same poor man. Again, the wise man saved the city, but no one remembered him, probably because he was a poor man. So what is this telling us, brothers and sisters? Well, this tells us that the people judge others by appearance. People are attracted by loud noises. We all tend to judge people by appearance, do we not? Again, although this man delivered the city, the people forgot about him. And now we're reading from the third point of view and we think, how is that happening? But that is happening all the time in this world. Think about it. If people have a choice to choose either to be the king or the poor man. Not many people choose to be a poor man. Why? It's obvious. Because the king has a huge influence. He is a powerful. He can influence others. If you read the text carefully, the king built a great siege work, which means there are many people who work for him. He's capable of accomplishing many, many things. People forgot the poor man because he has nothing to offer but his wisdom. People remember the king, even though the king was trying to destroy them, but people didn't remember him, the poor man who saved them. What does that mean? People tend to despise wisdom. Apostle James warned against that. He said in James chapter 2, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, a fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man with a filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? While outward appearance may be deceptive, when people choose churches, they look outward appearance. You see the programs that churches offer. Sometimes people choose church by looking at how popular the minister is. People pay attention to the songs that the church sings. What kind of songs do they sing? Is that uplifting? But people forget the most important thing, that is the wisdom of God in His Word. Often that wisdom is overlooked. Solomon says, "It seems great to me." This is a great story. And we may wonder what's so great about it, because it sounds very tragic. The poor man was despised. But brothers and sisters, here's the mystery of God that makes this story so great. Solomon is reminding us that this poor man, being forgotten by people, forgotten by the world, does not mean he is forgotten by God. You see, the king, no matter how loud he was, no matter how rich he was, no matter how many nations he conquered, it doesn't matter at the end. Why? Because he didn't have this precious wisdom. What matters the most is whether you are recognized by God or not. I can give you a good example. If you look at the book of Esther, think about Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who saved the king from conspiracy. He was almost forgotten, but God did not forget him. And God restores Mordecai with a reward by his providence. In the passage that we read in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." And then this passage, Ecclesiastes, this is a great wisdom for many ministers. This parable is so encouraging to ministers in small congregation or missionaries whose work seems to be overlooked by people. We have a missionary in this congregation as well. And we see many missionaries devote their whole lives because of God's working in them. But often, they are forgotten by people. There are many pastors in this world working hard in various places, but people tend to remember big names or famous pastors such as John someone, John another. People love to talk about these super pastors in mega churches, but someone who's doing a mission work in the forgotten places or small nation, small town. People forget. But again, this story is great. Why? Because the point is, God does not forget. That's all that matters. If you look at the whole structure of Ecclesiastes and the Solomon's literature, it's really shocking, especially in this passage, that when you think the Solomon is a rich king, he's putting a person like himself in the position of heir, shameful, and exalting someone who is poor. Why? Because Solomon knows the most important thing, that is wisdom. And he said it here too, wisdom is preferable than wealth and fame. He knows that. And brothers and sisters, from this story we see the image of Christ, especially the humbleness of Christ reflected and showing the wisdom of God. And we know Jesus is God. And he emptied himself of his glory and became a servant. He came to teach God's wisdom. The fact that Jesus left behind all his glory and came to this world to show wisdom fits well with the theme of Ecclesiastes. That is, wisdom is preferable than any other things. 1 Corinthians 1 says Jesus is the wisdom of God. He was born in Nazareth, which was a very small town. People in Nazareth did not recognize him. The prophet is accepted in his hometown. And you can see this antithesis between Jesus Christ, wisdom of God, who was born in little nation, little town, and also another power, which the Roman Empire, which occupied the nation Israel. And compared to this whole empire, and when people looked at the appearance of Jesus, of course, Jesus seemed to be fragile, insignificant, small compared to, let's say, the king or the emperor. But the point is, Jesus came to save this world as a servant. He was quiet, humble, meek. Now to compare that with the worldly powers and leaders, you can think of Herod, the king appointed by the Romans. He was praising himself foolishly, loud, and he was ate by worms. Brothers and sisters, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in Him. Let us not be distracted by fancy appearances of worldly wisdom. It may be attractive and loud, but at the end, it's nothing compared to the wisdom that is from God. Sometimes the truth that we see from God's word may sound not as good as inspirational speech of a famous person or speech from the president or prime minister. But what is more important is, again, wisdom is preferable than anything else. Sometimes what you hear from this pulpit could sound not as fancy as some other speeches. In online, there's something called TED Talks. And they have a wisdom. It seems like they have a wisdom. But again, what really matters is that, do I hear God's wisdom or do I hear man's wisdom? Children, you experience this all the time. Well, you hear from parents. Sometimes you feel a little bit overwhelmed. Sometimes you feel the parents are talking again and again and again. This past year, this year, you probably say the same thing next year. But again, there is the wisdom. Maybe it may sound not sound attractive as what your friends are saying, but what really matters is not the appearance, but whether there is a wisdom or not. So again, this year, I pray that our congregation follow God's wisdom led by His Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who is in heaven, we thank you for this morning that we can compare and contrast this worldly wisdom and your wisdom reflected in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are like sheep, the foolish, stubborn, and tend to go stray from your word. We easily get attracted and distracted by worldly pleasure. But Lord, we pray earnestly that you protect us and guide us and remind us with your powerful Spirit that wisdom is preferable than anything else. That whenever we have a temptations, that help us to fight against it and help us to deny our wisdom for follow yours. This new year we pray that you would bless our congregation, our members, that we may prosper in spirit. Also, we may be more faithful to you this new year. This morning, we especially pray for Cohen, Youngsma, that we pray that you would grant him a quick recovery, that it could be scary for the parents, especially when child has that serious illnesses, that we trust that your hands will protect him. We also pray for Ashton, that you know that he has some health issues, that we pray that you would watch him and watch his diet and also give him strength, that he may find the joy in you and comfort. That also we pray that you encourage him, that we may see him smiling. Also, whenever we see him, give us good heart that we may encourage him as brothers and sisters in Christ. We also pray for those that who are discouraged because of the fragility of our physical body and also because of the age, that we know there's always season and time. Sometimes we are discouraged. Sometimes we know we have to let go. But we know that you are our Heavenly Father who never let go of us. That let us be encouraged by the gospel of yours. And today is the first day of the year that we pray for your blessings on family gatherings. That we pray that the Satan may not tempt us. Also grant us your peace that we may have a joy in various meetings and family gatherings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.